Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Monday, May 25th, and if you have Memorial Day off today, we hope you're enjoying it. A lot of people confuse Veterans Day, Memorial Day, and Labor Day. A good way to remember it is that Memorial Day is in May, M&M, and it honors the dead, American military personnel who didn't come home. These next two, I don't really have a trick. But Veterans Day is in November, and it honors the living. And Labor Day is in September, and it has nothing to do with the military, it's about the workers. The distinction matters, and the fact that most Americans mix some of these up tells you something about how these holidays' meanings have drifted over time. We're covering this because Memorial Day has been one of the most remarkable and least known origin stories of any American holiday. And the broader question of how a day becomes a federal holiday turns out to be its own fascinating system. There are only 12 federal holidays in the United States. The most recent was added in 2021. And the path to getting on that list involves Congress, cultural momentum, and in one case, a Stevie Wonder song. More than 24 American cities claim to be the birthplace of Memorial Day. Congress has officially recognized Waterloo, New York, as the birthplace. But the earliest large-scale documented observance happened in Charleston, South Carolina, and it was organized by people who had been enslaved. In the final year of the Civil War, the Confederate Army converted the Washington Racecourse and Jockey Club in Charleston, a former plantation that had become an elite horse track, into an open-air prison for captured Union soldiers, and the conditions were terrible. Over 257 prisoners died from disease and exposure. Their bodies were dumped in a mass graveyard behind the grandstand. When Charleston fell in February 1865 and Confederate troops evacuated, the formerly enslaved black residents of the city remained. One of the first things they did was tend to the dead. 28 black workmen spent 2 weeks exhuming the Union soldiers from the mass grave and reburying each one in an individual grave. They built a tall fence around the new cemetery, whitewashed it, and inscribed an archway over the entrance. Martyrs of the Racecourse, it said. On May 1st, 1865, roughly 10,000 people, most of them formerly enslaved, gathered around the site. 3,000 black schoolchildren marched along and sang John Brown's Body while carrying armfuls of flowers. Members of the 54th Massachusetts and other black Union regiments performed military drills. Speeches were made. Picnics were held. It was, by any standard, the first large-scale Memorial Day observance in American history. Yale historian David Blight discovered records of the events in a dusty Harvard archive in the late 1990s. He wrote about it in his 2001 book, Race and Reunion. Blight called it the Independence Day of a Second American Revolution. Formerly enslaved people honoring the soldiers who had died for their freedom on the grounds of a former plantation turned prison. The symbolism was total, but the story was suppressed. After white Democrats regained political control of South Carolina in 1876, the black community's version of Memorial Day was deliberately erased and replaced with Confederate memorial traditions. The site of the original ceremony is now Hampton Park, a public park in Charleston. There is no major monument to the 1865 event. Most Americans have never even heard of it. The version that became official came 3 years later. On May 5th, 1868, General John A. Logan, Commander-in-Chief of the Grand Army of the Republic, a veterans organization, issued General Order No. 11, designating May 30th as Decoration Day for decorating the graves of fallen Union soldiers. The first national observance was held at Arlington National Cemetery. Blight has said he has no evidence that the Charleston event directly inspired Logan's order. But the freed people of Charleston were first. Now let's talk about how a federal holiday actually gets created, because the process is more difficult than most people realize. There are 12 federal holidays in the United States, and that's it. Every other day off you might get, President's Day, the day after Thanksgiving, Election Day, is either a state-level decision or a private employer's choice. Federal holidays apply only to federal employees and the District of Columbia. Private companies aren't legally required to observe any of them. To create a new one, a member of Congress has to introduce a bill. That bill has to pass both the House and the Senate. Then the president has to sign it into law. That sounds simple, but in practice, it almost never happens. Proposals for new federal holidays are introduced in Congress all the time. Election Day, Indigenous Peoples Day, Cesar Chavez Day, and almost none of them make it out of the committee. The political bar is extraordinarily high because every federal holiday costs the government money. Federal employees get a paid day off, agencies close, and the Congressional Budget Office estimates each holiday costs roughly $65 million in premium pay alone. Congress doesn't create holidays casually, and it's only done it 12 times in 156 years. The first four were created together in 1870. New Year's Day, Independence Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. Washington's birthday was added in 1880. Memorial Day, originally Decoration Day, became a federal holiday in 1888. Labor Day followed in 1894 after violent strikes and labor unrest made it politically useful for the government to show support for workers. Veterans Day, originally Armistice Day, was added in 1938, and Columbus Day came in 1968. Then nothing happened for 15 years. Martin Luther King Day was first proposed 4 days after King's assassination in April 1968. A bill was introduced in Congress that same week, but it went nowhere. For the next 15 years, the bill was reintroduced, debated, and stalled repeatedly. The campaign included a petition with 6 million signatures and a lobbying effort that crossed political lines. Stevie Wonder wrote Happy Birthday in 1981, specifically to build support for the holiday. The song reached number one on the R&B charts and became the anthem of the movement. In 1983, Congress finally passed the bill and President Reagan signed it. The first MLK Day was observed in 1986. New Hampshire was the last state to name the holiday after King in 1999, over 30 years after his death. Then we didn't get another federal holiday for 38 years. Juneteenth was proposed as a federal holiday as far back as 2005. It was signed into law in June 2021, moving from Senate passage to presidential signature in 3 days. It was the fastest creation of a federal holiday in modern history, propelled by the racial reckoning following the murder of George Floyd in 2020. The political will to clear the bar appears roughly once per generation. Memorial Day's evolution from its origins to today tracks a pattern that applies to almost every holiday we've covered on the show. The original meaning was specific, political, and rooted in a particular community's experience. Over time, it became general, commercial, and detached from its origins. The freed people of Charleston in 1865 knew exactly what they were doing and why. They were honoring the soldiers who died for their liberation on the grounds of a plantation turned prison. By 1971, when Congress moved Memorial Day to the last Monday in May to create a 3-day weekend, the holiday had become primarily a marker of the start of summer. Mattress sales, barbecues, travel weekends. A 2018 survey found that fewer than half of Americans could correctly state the purpose of Memorial Day. The Cinco de Mayo episode we did earlier this month followed the same arc. A military victory in 1862, adopted as a symbol of resistance by Chicano activists in the 1960s, commercialized by beer companies in the 1980s, and now celebrated by millions of Americans who do not know what it commemorates. The pattern is consistent. The ritual survives. The reason does not. Whether that matters is a personal question. Some people will hear the Charleston story today and think about it differently when they see flags at half-staff. Others will fire up the grill and enjoy the day off, and that's fine too. The holiday exists for both of those people. What Higher IQ can do is make sure that you know the full story before you decide what it means to you. 10,000 formerly enslaved people, 3,000 children carrying flowers, singing on the grounds of a prison where soldiers died for their freedom, that happened. It was the first Memorial Day, and for over a century, almost nobody knew. So if this comes up today, here's how to think about it. Memorial Day honors the military dead, not living veterans. The earliest large-scale observance was organized by formerly enslaved people in Charleston, South Carolina, on May 1st, 1965. they exhumed 257 Union soldiers from a mass grave at a former plantation turned prison, gave them proper burials, and held a parade of 10,000 people. The story was suppressed for over a century until a Yale historian found records of it in a Harvard archive. There are only 12 federal holidays in the United States. The most recent, Juneteenth, was added in 2021. The one before that, MLK Day, took 15 years of lobbying, 6 million petition signatures, and a Stevie Wonder song to get passed. Getting a day on the list is one of the hardest things to do in American politics. Keeping its meaning alive after it gets there might even be harder. So stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.